This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Jesus awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son and named him Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we are on the fourth Sunday of Advent. There's only 1 week to go before Christmas, just 6 short days before Christmas Eve. And can't you feel the pressure starting to build? This is the time when everything starts to come to a head. Travel plans need to be firmed up. For many of us, there's still shopping. In some cases, a lot of shopping that needs to be done. And some of us have company coming, so we need to get the house ready for guests. That means cleaning. That means baking. There's still presents to wrap. Maybe some of you, like me, haven't even sent out your Christmas cards yet. There's still that to do. And of course, kids and grandkids need to be chauffeured around. And no doubt, there are parties to attend. This coming week is when the pressure of the Christmas season will be at its absolute maximum. We can expect to be blitzed with advertisements on TV, radio, and social media, and they just threaten to overwhelm us. It seems like the cultural hype around Christmas builds and builds, and through it all, somehow, we're supposed to remember that we're trying to keep Christ in Christmas. And so I would just say, if you made it to worship today, you're past the point of wanting just sentimentality or even nostalgia for a Christmas that's lived in a slower, maybe less hectic time. This week, perhaps more than any other week of the year, we want, collectively, we need an honest-to-goodness encounter with the living Christ. We need a Jesus fix. One of my old friends used to say about this time of year, Christmas is practically at our throats. And sometimes it feels that way, doesn't it? And I would say if we're going to make it to Christmas, let alone through New Year's and through the stress that some are feeling leading up to Inauguration Day, we need to experience Jesus. We need a close encounter of the God kind. And I would guess that whoever put our readings together for this fourth Sunday of Advent must have kind of understood where our heads would be this week. Because the readings, especially that reading from Matthew, just kind of puts us on the road to recovery. I read that gospel reading and it was sort of like a life ring that was thrown to someone who is about to go under for the third time. It gives us something to hold on to, something to keep us afloat, even as the waves of this Christmas season seem to be crashing around us. And I guess what I love about this reading from Matthew is that it is so intimate, so personal, and so very real. No gospel writer tells us as much about Jesus' real human father, Joseph, as does St. Matthew. You know, Mark, in his gospel, never even mentions his name. Luke mentions Joseph by name only 4 times, and one of those comes in a genealogy. And St. John, he mentions Joseph twice, but it's only to identify Jesus as the son of Joseph. We know what we know about Joseph because of these few lines that are written in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 1 and 2. And I'm going to suggest that reading them gives us that kind of intimate experience of the divine that we need this week. And we know the story. Joseph discovers his wife-to-be Mary. Guess what? She's pregnant. His initial and his very human reaction is that he doesn't want to bring shame to his family. And that family goes a long ways back. It's a royal family line going back through David all the way to Abraham. But we also find out right away that Joseph is a kind-hearted man. Rather than publicly humiliate Mary, our text says he planned to dismiss her quietly. But before Joseph acts on what I think we could say is a very natural impulse, God speaks to him in a dream. The angel of the Lord appears in a dream and reassures a doubting Joseph, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And so not only do we recognize here that Joseph is a kind man, we see in this statement that Joseph also is a man of great faith. He trusts God, and he prepares to follow that path that's laid out for him by the angel, even going so far as how to name this child that's going to be coming into his life. The naming of a child in the Hebrew culture was a very significant event. And it's almost like a divinely inspired name was kind of a window on the soul of that person. And so yes, the story goes, Joseph receives that by his faithful actions. He follows exactly where the Lord's leading him down this path. And he stays with Mary. And they give this baby the name Jesus. And maybe you know the Hebrew pronunciation of that name. It's Yeshua. And it literally means the Lord saves. But if you think about that passage from today's gospel, you remember that Yeshua is not the only name mentioned in that passage. The angel also refers to the prophet Isaiah that says Messiah's name would be called Emmanuel. And that's translated as God is with us. So in these few lines from Matthew's gospel, we get sort of an up-close and personal look at what kind of upright, faithful, obedient guy Joseph was. But I'm going to suggest to you that just as importantly, maybe even more importantly, we get a very intimate picture of who this Jesus is going to be. When we understand the biblical importance of names, we get a peek at Jesus' soul. And I would say at the very face of God. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that maybe this very personal experience that we need so badly at this time of year is going to come as we think about the significance of the names that God gives the Messiah. We shouldn't just take them for granted. Yeshua, the Lord saves, and Emmanuel, God is with us. You know, when we say Yeshua, that's the way the Hebrew would pronounce it, or Jesus, that would be the Greek, or Jesus in English, we're literally saying the Lord saves. And when we talk about salvation, you know, we're not just talking here about simply getting into heaven. Salvation means more than that. Did you ever stop to think about all the different ways Jesus saves? as Lutherans, there's kind of a particular way that we view salvation. One of the things that we know that we're saved from is the burden of the law. You know, God's people have had God's law for thousands of years. And guess what? They and even we today never really lived up to the law, did we? So Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross saves us from a life of futility, knowing that we can't live up to the law. That's one way that we're saved. We're saved by grace through faith and not of works. That's why we can't boast about it. There's another way to think about salvation. Over and over in the book, in the Bible, God's salvation came as liberation from bondage. The whole book of Exodus, with a mighty arm, God saved the Israelites by liberating them from slavery in Egypt. And in the New Testament, Paul talks about how we're all slaves to sin. But through Jesus, we're cleansed of our sin, we're made fit to be adopted into God's family. And through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we're empowered to live right now, free from sin. Yeshua and the power of the Spirit just continues to save us by freeing us from bondage today. There's one other way of salvation that's talked about in the Bible. It's often talked about as a safe return of God's people from exile. You know, God uses the Gentile king Cyrus, and he raises up Hebrews leaders like Nehemiah and Ezra to shepherd Israel back from exile in Babylon to their homeland. And I tell you that the Lord continues to save people from exile today. Can't tell you how many people, gosh, in the last 8 years that I've talked to about Mountain of Faith, and when they come to visit Mountain of Faith, they tell me that they feel immediately at home here when they come to worship. And of course, this isn't something that's unique to Mountain of Faith. God continually saves those who are going through spiritual exile by leading them to places of worship where they feel at home. It's a return from spiritual exile. As I mentioned last week, this idea of being saved, that's all wrapped up in the name of Yeshua, or the Lord saves, is bigger than just God saving us from things like hell and bondage and exile. God doesn't just save us from things. He saves us for His purposes. He saves us so that we can be an example of how to live a kingdom life right here and now. But we can love our neighbors as ourselves and go and make disciples of all nations. We're not just saved from things, we're saved for things. And I think there's kind of a richness that comes to our life when we're thinking about the way Jesus lives into the real meaning of His name, Yeshua. Because we can take great comfort knowing that the Lord really does save. Yeah, we're saved from hell and eternal separation from God. We're saved from bondage and exile. And we're blessed that we're saved for abundant living now. But I'm going to suggest to you that the most powerful close encounter of the God kind that we're likely to have today is when we come face to face with Emmanuel, or God with us. Maybe you're like me, maybe the first thought you have when you hear that word Emmanuel is you think of the Christmas story, and that's appropriate. God chooses to be with us in human form. And we know that as Jesus, God experiences the same kind of joys and sorrows and temptations that we all face. And so God really is Emmanuel, or with us in the person of Christ. But it goes deeper than that. Emmanuel is with us today for specific purposes that, you know, in my opinion, I just don't think that we talk about or think about very often today. We know that God is with us to comfort us in our need, to support us in times of trial, and even to kind of cheer us on when things are going well. You know, I love that song, "I will weep when you are weeping. I will laugh. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I'll share your joy and sorrow. till we've seen this journey through. It speaks to the way we live together. Jesus promises that when two or three are gathered in his name, that he'll be what? Present with us. And so God is always present, present, ready to forgive our sin when we confess it, ready to empower us through his Spirit to resist temptation and to live that life free from bondage. And God's also present in his written word to challenge us. Paul talks about this all the time, to live godly lives and to not be conformed to the world around us, but be conformed to the Spirit of God. And finally, we have Christ's promise to be Emmanuel, or with us, in the bread and the wine of Holy Communion. And here's the best part, I think. All of these real, personal experiences of God are best received, best felt among the community of believers, the church. God gives us each other so that we can be present in the lives of one another. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us in so many ways. Jesus is present with us in the liturgy, in our music, in our readings, in our fellowship, whether that fellowship takes place in this building or outside this building. He's present with us in the waters of baptism and in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. So if you're in need of a Jesus fix, you are with exactly the right people and in exactly the right place to get that fix. This week we can say, thanks be to God that the Lord saves and that he promises to be with us even to the end of the age. Amen.